Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Dr. Chloe Buckley is a Christian psychologist passionate about helping families heal. In her work with families, Dr. Buckley strives to strengthen marriages, to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. She earned her bachelor's degree in human development from Cornell, then graduated with her PhD in clinical psychology and her MA in Christian leadership at Fuller Seminary. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show. Why do we have the Good Life Radio Show, you ask? To bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, to the one who loves you and knows you, and all that you're facing right now, he knows. And there's always hope in Christ. You know, he loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today sends Dr. Chloe Buckley to share heart to heart with us, with you, whatever you might be facing right now. God, we are believing, will touch you, speak to you, and encourage you. Would you open your heart to Christ if you haven't yet done so? We pray, we hope that you would. Dr. Buckley maintains her private practice in Hawaii, working closely with individuals and families to help them understand their family history and dynamics, spiritual and cultural background, and personal strengths and weaknesses. We'll talk with her about that and more. And our hope is that individuals and families would understand themselves and each other and get to know each other better. She and her husband attend Blue Water Mission. Dr. Buckley, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. I'm honored to be here.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up on the windward side of Oahu, and it's actually kind of funny. We already had our home there when my mom was pregnant with me, but she's originally from Taiwan, and so when the time came for me to be born, I was supposed to be born at Castle Hospital. She decided she would rather go home and be with her five sisters, and so she packed up our whole family and moved back to Taiwan for the year, and I was born there in Taiwan. And then brought home 8 months later in a basket, and then spent all of my school years living in Waimanalo, and then spending my summers in Taipei in the city and really enjoying kind of this rural school year life and then urban summer life. It was really, really fun.
What do you remember most or cherish most of your time in Taiwan?
So many things. I think just the best part was that I am one of 19 in my generation. That means I have 17 cousins and one brother. And when I would go in the summer, my parents would basically just drop us off. I mean, not really, but sort of. I wouldn't see them for most of the summer because my cousins and I, we would just run around the city. I mean, the older ones took care of the middle ones and the middle ones took care of the youngest ones. And I'm one of the youngest ones. And so they would take us shopping and we'd go sing karaoke and we'd go to night markets and we took the subway. I mean, it was just complete and total freedom in a way that in America you really don't get much, especially if you live in Waimanalo and you can't get anywhere. I just really, really love that. It was so fun. And just the companionship and the friendship of my cousins just was so wonderful. And I do miss them dearly that I don't get to go as often now.
When I think of shave ice and I think of Taiwan, there's some pretty unique kinds of shave ice.
Oh, my goodness. There. Yes. Oh, I miss that so much. I guess I should also say that my other highlight is just the food. I mean, I can just go and eat and eat and eat and eat. My husband and I were there recently, and that's just what we did. Like, we would just eat the whole day through. My family would take us to eat everything, but I insisted I had to have, we call it trapping in Taiwan. It's the Taiwanese shave ice. It has the boba on top and the peanuts and the I can't even describe in English, but just so many wonderful things. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so heavenly. I miss that a lot.
Who influenced you most, Chloe, in your growing up years?
You know, my mom was absolutely, was and is the greatest influence in my life. And I mean, I think it's obvious to me now, and I'm sure to everyone around me, it's a big part of why I'm so passionate about the issue of parenting, because she was just such a tremendous parent. You know, I think there were a lot of struggles in our lives, as there are for every family, and it wasn't easy, but she really poured her whole heart into taking care of us. And my mom was just a fabulous, and is a fabulous teacher. She's now a pastor of a Chinese church in Kaimuki, but she had this amazing ability to turn every single moment into a teachable moment. In Chinese, we call it 机会教育, or opportunity education, and she just had an amazing ability to do that. I mean, everything from washing vegetables to a trip to the grocery store to watering the lawn to drives in the car. I mean, no matter what we did or where we did it, my mom had a way to turn that into some sort of life lesson or some kind of parable. And sometimes I would tease her. I would just say, like, Mom, you're just spitting pearls of wisdom. They just keep spitting out. But that was just how she was and is, you know, and we still sometimes tease her about it. But, I mean, it really is so rich. And I feel like I learned so much about life that way, because she found a way to always be teaching me about life and what's important, and even just wisdom, you know, things to do, how to manage your money, really practical stuff, as well as, you know, spiritual stuff. And I think that was definitely the most powerful influence on my life.
A wise woman.
A very wise woman, yes.
What have you held close to your heart? A lesson? Maybe you can share a pearl that she's given you.
Yeah. You know, there were so many. I certainly can't remember any of them verbatim. But, you know, one thing that really stands out to me was lessons that come via experience rather than words, although she was a woman of many words and still is. But we used to go, I think I had a slightly unusual childhood in this way. We used to spend our weekends going to pray for people. We seem to specialize in cancer patients and in women who were barren and unable to have children. And so we spent a lot of our time praying for these families and for these people. And I remember just the power of her faith, especially with the people who were struggling with cancer, with the women who were not able to have children. Of course, there's a lot of faith too, but I guess we sort of felt like we were doing pretty good. We had a really good running average. We had a perfect score for every single one of those when we prayed for. They all became pregnant, and we really praise God for those beautiful babies. But with the cancer patients, you know, we lost a lot of those. And sometimes I kind of wondered, like, why do we keep doing this? You know, if it's that hard, and if people don't always make it, you know, does God hear? And my mom was always so certain that God hears, and that in a way it didn't matter. I mean, it did. It did matter, of course. It mattered a lot to their families, and it mattered a lot to us. But that what mattered in the life of faith was that we were faithful. And I think that has always had an impact on me, because there are so many times that I myself, you know, have had moments where you kind of wonder, like, am I doing okay with God? Like, am I doing the right thing? How do I really know? You know, and sometimes it's really obvious, and God makes things really obvious. And a lot of times he just kind of makes you have to make your own decisions, you know. And in those times, I just always remember, like, you know what? As long as I'm faithful, it's okay. And it's a lot less important what the result is, but what matters is that I was faithful. And that's something that I really try to encourage people with, too, is that, you know, that's really all that matters, and that, you know, none of us are perfect, and we all have our ups and downs. But, you know, if we draw close to God, and if we just desire to seek his will and to follow him, then ultimately that's what really matters.
That helps. Dr. Buckley, that helps. I say it in that way because there's a profoundness to the simplicity of the reality that, you know, we might try to do our very best, and some may have very high standards to the point where it's hard even to make a decision because you want to make the right decision. And sometimes God wants us to make a decision and be faithful and trust him. And, you know, that really speaks. That really speaks to me. That speaks, I believe, to someone today who's listening. You've talked about your relationship with God. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I feel like that's always an interesting question for someone who's grown up in the church. Because for me, I always knew Jesus. In fact, I think it was part of God's plan that I was born in Taiwan, that my mom got homesick. When she went back, she realized that it was really important to her to have a hospital where the doctor spoke English so the rest of my family who didn't would be able to participate and speak with them. And so I was born at the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital. And because of that, all of the doctors there are missionaries. And when I was born, the doctor actually took me and dedicated me to the Lord on the spot. No questions asked, just did it. And
Dr. Buckley, mm-hmm. let's come back to that after our break.
Okay.
I mean, you've got us at the edge of our seat now. I want to know what happened. Seventh-day Adventist Hospital, missionary involvement. You're listening to the story of Dr. Chloe Buckley. When we come back, how did she become a follower of Jesus Christ? How did she end up at Cornell? How did she end up at Fuller Seminary where she got her PhD? What kind of research did she do, and how does it relate to sticky faith? When we come back, more from Dr. Chloe Buckley. She's involved with the Explicit Conference too, reaching out to many young people and families through her ministry, her practice. Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling.
You're
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, of course, not everybody gets to be born in another country. Not everyone gets to go every summer to another country like Dr. Chloe Buckley did when she was growing up. She would get to go to Taiwan every summer. And it seems like from morning to night, there was activity, there was excitement, and she grew and learned, and she speaks of it with fondness. She also was influenced greatly by her mother, even to this day, an inspiration, a mother who shares pearls of wisdom. Dr. Chloe Buckley is in studio with us today. You can find out more about her at drchloebuckley.com. She really has a heart for young people. In fact, she's a part of the Explicit Youth movement. You can find out more about that at explicityouth.com. Dr. Buckley, before our break, you were sharing with us how you became a Christian, started when you were born in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital among missionaries. What happened?
Well, when I was born, the doctor took me and dedicated me to the Lord for God's service for all the days of my life. And my mom was a young believer at the time, and she just cried. You know, the doctor didn't have a way to know how much that would mean to her, but it really did. And I think for me, it really did feel like I always walked with Jesus. Like I don't remember a day that I didn't know Jesus, that Jesus was not my friend and my companion, and that God wasn't the God who watched over me and took care of me and who was the one who was there with me when I was alone. But I think everyone has a point where that solidifies for them. So even though I think I always believed and I always followed, you reach a point in what psychologists would call the age of reason, right? When you're 9 or 10 years old and you're able to understand the abstract. And I remember being in Sunday school class and we were learning about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids and how 5 were ready when Jesus came and 5 were not. And I was alarmed. I had no idea there was something you had to do to be ready. And so when class was dismissed, I just bolted from that Sunday school classroom and I just ran to the sanctuary. And I grabbed our pastor and I said, Pastor, what do I need to do to be ready when Jesus comes? Like, I was so worried. And so, you know, I had to slow down and explain that we had learned about the parable and how I didn't want to be one of the ones that was left outside and not able to go into the banquet with Jesus. And so he set an appointment with me and sat down with me, you know, and basically drew the picture for me that there's a chasm called sin that separates us from God, and that Jesus is the cross that builds that bridge across that giant chasm and allows us to live with him forever in heaven if we decide to accept him into our hearts. And I mean, I think for me, that was sort of more of a formality. I think Jesus was already in my heart. I really believe that for a lot of children that's the case. But it is always, I think, good to really make that concrete for yourself. And that was the point at which I was baptized, you know, on a Sunday morning sometime after that. And that's when I think I could kind of have an instant to point to and a meaningful ritual to be able to point to.
What does Jesus mean to you, Chloe?
What a question, Danny. Jesus means everything to me. Jesus is my life, my breath, the reason that I'm here, the reason that I serve. Jesus is everything.
You care for families. Of course, caring for families, you're caring for the nucleus of society. Of course, families are comprised by individuals who together corporately make the family unit. How did you develop a love, a care for people, for families?
Well, when I was in college at Cornell, there were a number of instances that turned me this way. But I guess I discovered first that I wanted to do some sort of counseling before the family component became really concrete for me. So when I was at Cornell, I was a very active member and a leader in our Campus Crusade ministry. And as a result, I did a lot of lay counseling, and probably less as a result and more as a passion, because I was counseling on the order of around 30 people on a regular basis. And that's a lot to do on top of a regular school schedule. But it was just what I was so passionate about. I mean, I lived for those times of being able to walk with people. And I wasn't really sure where to go with that. But at Cornell and on our Campus Crusade, we had an annual Ivy League conference where all of the leaders from Campus Crusade ministries who attended Ivy League schools were invited to attend a weekend conference. And there was one speaker that I remember who gave these wonderful Ivy stories. Every time these conferences, he would tell these stories about Ivy League graduates who went on to do really great things for God. And there was one story in particular that really struck me, and that was what solidified it for me. He told the story of a woman named Ida Scudder, and she was a missionary kid growing up in India. Her father was a medical missionary, the first medical missionary in India, and she hated it. She wanted to go back to America and live a normal American life, and she didn't want to have anything to do with it. But one time while she was there with her parents, and she was in her early 20s, she heard a knock on the door in the middle of the night, and she went to answer the door, and there was a young Hindu man who was standing there, and he said desperately, "My wife is dying in childbirth. Will you please come and help?" And she said, I'll go get my father. He's a doctor." And he said, No. "In our religion, a man cannot even look upon my wife's face." And she said, But I'm not a doctor. I can't help." And he said, "No. Alas, it's lost." And he left, and she was just horrified, but she went back and tried to sleep. And then she heard another knock in the night, and she went to answer the door. And when she answered the door, there was another Hindu man standing there saying, "My wife, she's struggling in childbirth. She may not make it. Can you help?" And she said, I'll get my father. He's a doctor." And the man said, No, in our religion, we do not permit a man to assist a woman in that way." And she was just heartbroken. And so she tried to go back to sleep. And there was a knock on the door a third time. And this time there was a Muslim man with the same request, for which she gave the same answer, and for which he gave the same response. And so she went to bed and obviously was not able to sleep. She worried and prayed for those women all night. And in the morning, she heard the death toll chime three times. All three of those women had died. And in that moment, I was like, "Oh my gosh, what is this?" And the speaker went on to say that Ida was so distraught, she locked herself in her room for days and refused to eat, and she prayed. And finally, she came out and she told her parents that she had resolved to return to America to become a doctor, and that she would return to India to open a hospital for women. And sure enough, that's exactly what she did. She actually went to Cornell, and she became a medical missionary, and she returned to India, opened their first hospital for women, and actually made it into a teaching hospital where she trained Indian women to become doctors and changed their lives. And the speaker asked us all, "Have you heard three knocks in the night?" And all of a sudden, it just came to me. Three people right away, their faces came to me that were in our fellowship, a very close friend who was struggling with a severe eating disorder, who had been recently partially hospitalized in a day treatment program for anorexia. A second who was struggling seriously with suicidal thoughts, and who we were worried actually while we were gone about how he would hold up while we were not there. And a third who was having regular panic attacks and actually contacting us constantly while we were at the conference. And I thought, oh gosh, the need is so great. You know, these are only the three faces that come straight to my mind of people who are suffering. But behind them, there are hundreds of others. And I just knew at that moment, I knew that that's what I needed to do. I wanted to become, you know, some form of Christian counselor that would help people like that. And I didn't even know what that would mean. I didn't know how I would do it. But I came home with that resolve, and the following summer I was approaching my senior year, and I thought, God, what am I going to do? So I did what every respectable college student does when they don't know what to do. You ask Google. And so I Googled the words Christian psychology, and the first hit was that Christian psychology was from the devil. I found that really entertaining. And then the second hit was for the Christian Association for Psychological Studies, and they had a link for education that took me to the Fuller website. Mm-hmm. And just reading the description of the way that they help people who are suffering in a way that my secular education could never quite reach, I knew that was exactly what I wanted to do. It was the only thing that I wanted to do. So I submitted my application. It's the only school that I applied to. And I was like, God, if this is your will, this is the door that'll open. And it did. And I couldn't have been happier.
Wow. So the Lord made it very clear. And you responded.
He did.
How did the Lord open that door?
I got into Fuller.
You got in. Mm-hmm. Who did you meet? What was that experience like?
That experience was amazing. I actually still miss my days at Fuller. I'd actually always dreamed of being able to go to seminary. I just really wanted to dive into God's word more deeply and just have that rich cultural context for understanding it that we just don't get, you know, living in the modern day and age. And I didn't think I would ever get to because I didn't want to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so discovering that they had a psychology program was just truly an answer to my prayers. And I also, while I was at Cornell, I just got really disillusioned with psychology as a field in and of itself, because I realized the limitations. You know, there's only so far that science can take you, and then at some point, the rest is faith. And of course, a secular institution is never going to be willing to admit that, or to admit that psychology is laden with values. It has to be laden with values, no matter how quiet you try to keep as a psychologist. And the questions that you ask and the things that you're interested in, your values will always come out. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't recognized there. But at Fuller, that was what we talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, this was, that was the grit of it. We always evaluated our own values. Where are we coming from? What's our denominational heritage? How are we welcoming those from other perspectives? You know, how are we being very careful about what we know and what we don't know, and asking sensitive questions? And so it was just so amazing to me to get involved with a community like that, that cared so passionately about God and yet really valued good science, and was able to bring those two things together.
And speaking of good science, of course, along with the openness of sharing the deep values that Dr. Buckley shared while she was getting her PhD at Fuller, she did research. And one significant part of her research has come to be known today as something we call sticky faith. Sticky faith. I wonder what that is. You wonder what that is? When we come back, if you're wondering, she'll share what that means. It'll have something to do with young people. It'll have something to do with families. If you have a child, if you are a child, if you have a grandchild, you want to hear what sticky faith is all about. And you'll hear it from Dr. Chloe Buckley herself here at The Good Life Hawaii. She's with us, and you stay with us, because we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hey, transitions are not the easiest thing to do or to guide or even to be a part of. When you think about sticky faith, you might wonder what that means. Well, our guest today, Dr. Chloe Buckley, has a significant part in the development of this whole concept, this whole idea that is really taking this world of psychology, world of ministry, world of young people by storm. She's here with us today. You can find out more about her and her practice at drchloebuckley.com. She's also one of the speakers. She's a part of the Explicit Youth Movement. And you can find out more about Explicit Youth, the conferences, the events at explicityouth.com. Dr. Buckley, what is sticky faith?
That's a very good question. While I was at Fuller, I had the privilege to work on a research team with the Fuller Youth Initiative. And the question that we asked ourselves essentially was, what makes faith stick for young people? What makes high school students who are active in their youth groups continue to stick to their faith when they go to college? And the reason why we asked that question is because of an alarming statistic that 40 to 50% of high school youth group kids leave the faith when they go to college. So if you imagine, you know, your high school youth group at your church and you take half the kids, you can just drop them off. You know, they won't stick. They won't end up. And, of course, that's not a predicament for your kids in particular, but those are just average statistics from our national sample. And, you know, of those kids who ended up leaving, there are 20% who planned to do so. You know, they weren't a big fan of church. They were kind of just doing it, and they decided they were going to leave. But 80% of them had no intention of leaving the faith. 80% of them thought they would continue to be active in church life and continue in their walk with Jesus, and it just kind of happened to them, and they just fell off. And so we really wanted to ask why. You know, what happened that these kids didn't make it? And what were the factors that helped other kids to make it. Because that's what we want to build, right? If there are factors that lead to these kids being stronger Christians when they're in college rather than walking away, then that's what we want to build into our youth groups, and that's what we want to build into our families.
Why do they walk away?
You know, there's a lot of different factors, but the number one thing that we found in that regard was that kids are unprepared. They're unprepared for what college will be like. They're unprepared for the party scene. They're unprepared for the amount of freedom. Our kids grow up in such structured lives. You know, they have school from 8 to 2:30, and then they have soccer, and then they have piano, and then they have these endless schedule of activities, and every single minute of their day is scheduled for them. So they don't really have to make a lot of choices. However, when they go to college, there is no structure for them. They're completely free. They can do whatever they want, and no one's going to know. And it's up to them whether they go to class. It's up to them whether they do any assignments. It's up to them whether they go to a campus fellowship or go to a party instead. Those are all in their hands. And there's no one there anymore to tell them what to do. And so very often these kids feel completely unprepared for this life change, for handling life on their own and being expected to be like adults when they've had nothing like that for their whole lives.
So what's the heart of the book, Sticky Faith?
Well, I think the heart of the book is to be able to bring to families what are the things that actually do help. You know, what are the things that parents can do, that youth leaders can do, that will help their kids to become stronger Christians as they leave rather than weaker. And there were a number of factors that we found that were really important. One was, you know, besides preparing the kids, because that is one, we definitely want to prepare the kids more. But we also have to think about how we do youth ministry. You know, do we really focus on what the kids should do and not do? You know, is our youth ministry about like, well, you shouldn't go to parties and you should make sure that you always show up at church and you should do this and you shouldn't do that? You know, because if we do that, then a lot of those kids end up not sticking because it's just an external behavior. It's not about a relationship with Jesus. And when we lose that component, you know, that's the thing that's going to sustain because there's no one there to monitor those behaviors once they leave. So that was definitely one of the findings. Another one was just how important parents are. You know, over and over again, kids reported that their parents were one of the most important influences in their life. And I mean, I'm one of them, right? Like you asked me who influenced me most, and it's easily, hands down, that's my mom. And I think that's true for so many people, that their parents were the greatest influence in their lives. But so often these days, parents feel really powerless for helping their kids. You know, there's just so many influences. There's social media and the internet, and there's friends and there's school, and there's all of these things going on. And parents have a hard time capitalizing on that, about the power and the influence that they have to influence their kids for good. And so we really go into how important it is. You know, Dr. Kara Powell and Dr. Chap Clark, who wrote up all of our research in this book, Sticky Faith, really look into all of the different factors. And so, I mean, I can't list them all. You have to check out the book. There's mm-hmm. plenty, but those are a couple highlights.
You're at Fuller Seminary. When you were there, you had to find a mentor, I would imagine.
Yes.
Who did you find? Did you find one?
I did. I had the great privilege of studying under Dr. Cameron Lee. He was my dissertation advisor. He was the one who invited me to join what at the time was called the College Transition Project Research, which has now become Sticky Faith. He was also my family systems professor. So you ask how I became really passionate about working with families. I had a few other things that had kind of tipped me in that direction, but it was definitely sitting through those lectures and learning about the power of families to help or hurt each other that I thought, you know what, this is the only thing that matters. You know, I could work with individual people all day, day in and day out, and there's a lot of power in that, don't get me wrong. But the exponential power of working with an entire family and changing the entire dynamic and changing the way that they relate to each other so that all of those people benefit is so much more powerful. And I learned that. I learned that from Cameron. He had so much to teach us in that way. But more than just like the book stuff, which obviously was important, so much more is just the person that he is. I mean, even now he continues to keep in touch and mentors me and helps me as I try to figure out these things and just really models what it is to be a person of grace and a person who cares for others.
You speak about your passion in understanding families, those dynamics. How have you seen, give us an example of how you've seen that actually take place in transforming the dynamics of a family?
It's a good question. As a psychologist, I'm very careful to maintain the confidentiality of the people that I work with. So I'll give you sort of a conglomerate example. This is a common features that cut across in many different situations. But it's very often that a family will have a lot of difficulty with their teenager, for instance. You know, maybe they have a teenage daughter or a teenage son, and, you know, they're acting out. Maybe they're getting involved with party scene or running away. Perhaps they're cutting or otherwise showing signs of depression or anxiety. And the family's very concerned, obviously, right? And so they want to bring in this child and, you know, kind of like, Dr. Buckley, can you help us fix her? You know, and I try to remind parents as much as possible that children are not broken. They're hurting, and they're hurting for a reason. And usually as we sit down and we talk with the family and I get to know them, I mean, that's why it's so important to me to hear their story. Where are you from? You know, what's your cultural background? And how did parents meet? And where, you know, did you learn about life? You know, who influenced you as parents? And as we get into those stories, we, you know, we usually start to find the different places where there have been brokenness in the family story. You know, it's really not just about the child that they're bringing in, but there's been so much pain. You know, there might be a strained relationship with in-laws, or maybe there's a strained relationship with a sibling, or maybe a strained relationship between parents. And all of those things, the child picks up on. You know, our children are incredibly insightful. They are so bright, and they know when things are wrong, and they cry out for help. And that's really what it is. I always see that, is that the kids are crying out for help for their family. You know, they sacrifice themselves as a way of saying, look, guys, something's not right. So there's something we're not dealing with, and it's really not okay. You know, and they don't say that, you know, consciously. They don't, you know, that's not what they verbalize, but that's how it comes out. And they're always trying to get help for their family in that way. And so I think it's really important that we respond to the real call, right? Not just the one that's stated, but the one that's really felt in their hearts, you know, that hurt for family healing. And so that's really what I try to do, is to really intervene on that level. You know, the Bible does say that the sins of the fathers are passed down, right, to the third and fourth generation, and then the blessings to the thousands that come after. And we see that. We see that trickle-down effect within the family. And so we really want to change that, right? Every generation is the possibility to become the generation that is faithful, to become the generation that is redeemed, and then to pass that blessing forward. And so that's really what I look for. I look for those windows of opportunity to do that in the life of a family.
Well, I can see why someone would come to you and why I would want to hear you speak, and I would want others, young people, my kids, hear you speak, because you speak with a heart of understanding, yes, a heart of compassion, yes, a heart of identification. There's a whole lot that goes on with who you are, Dr. Chloe Buckley, and I'm very grateful that you're with us today to share. And when we come back from our break, I'm wondering if you could talk with us maybe about how the Lord has helped you through a difficult time or times. Could you share a little something with us when we return?
Sure.
I'm going to ask that when we come back. And as you listen, I want you to open your heart to what the Lord would say to you, dear one. Even in your moment right now, is it a challenge? Is it a struggle? Are you worried? Are you stressed? Are you in pain? You know, God sends Dr. Buckley to bring healing. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, Leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the scripture says, he who walks with the wise shall be wise. And our guest today, well, she is wise. She has a wise mother. She's been around wise mentors. And in the grace of the wisdom that the Lord has entrusted her, she has come and to share with us the wisdom and particularly what it's like to work with young people and families. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm speaking of none other than Dr. Chloe Buckley. Dr. Chloe Buckley, you can find out more about her at drchloebuckley.com. She's a part of the Explicit Youth Movement. And again, you can find out more there at explicityouth.com. This is the Good Life Radio Show. You can get this podcast in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And share it with a family member. Share it with a friend. I'm so glad you're with us today. Dr. Buckley, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, I think God has helped me through so many difficult times. I think that is the life of faith. That is the journey that we walk. I think that when I was in graduate school, it was an amazing, wonderful time. But at the same time, it was a very lonely and difficult time. I think those things, interestingly, can go hand in hand. And as you explore, you know, your own family story and all of that in school, it can really bring up a lot of your own stuff, and it can be really hard to face all of that. And I definitely got pretty down during those years and had a really hard time too, culturally, being from Hawaii and being away for that long without the same adrenaline that you have in college to push you through. It was definitely very difficult, and I really struggled at points. But God really met me, and he met me in so many different ways. You know, he definitely met me directly and spoke to me and just let me experience his presence, that he was there. And I am also so grateful he sent me just so many amazing people. I had amazing, amazing, beautiful roommates who reminded me of the love of God day in and day out. that every time I wanted to give up and I just didn't have hope, you know, they would remind me, choose joy, you know, choose to be joyful, choose to believe that God is here. I also had my own amazing therapist, a Christian, a graduate of Fuller, who just walked me through really dark times and really gave me hope that things could be different, that things could be better, and that, you know, we all go through seasons like that. And I think that's one of the things that I'm actually really grateful for, that I went through one of many, but probably one of my darker times, but that I can relate, you know, when people come in and say that they feel like God's not talking to them, or they don't really know what will happen, or they're not really sure kind of where they stand. I can relate to that. You know, I've been through that too. And I know the power of having Christian community to surround you. And that's ultimately how I made it. I think God definitely spoke to me and all of that, and he has my whole life, and I don't downplay that at all. But sometimes when you're really down there, you need someone else to have more faith than you. You know, my own faith was not going to sustain it. And it was just so amazing to have the family of God just catch me like that, and walk with me and give me hope and give me faith. And that's why I really believe in the power of family, you know, that power of the nuclear family and the extended family, but power in the Christian family, that we can be family to one another in such a powerful way that brings healing.
You're a part of, I guess we could say in some certain way, an extended family of leaders and those who love families and young people in the explicit youth movement. How did you get involved, and what's your part in that?
Yeah, well, I was really blessed to be invited to be involved in this movement. Pastor Michelle Okimura approached me via referral from a colleague, and I was really honored that she would ask me to participate. As a young psychologist, I, you know, still trying to figure out, like, oh, you know, where can I serve, and what do I have to offer? But she just so believed that I had things to offer. And, you know, I really do have such a huge passion and a heart for families. And the explicit movement originally really started as a purity movement, and it still is, you know, a desire to see our young people live lives of purity and faith and holiness. And it's really awesome. And they've also started to realize that, you know, you can't do that without families. You know, families are what shape our youth. They're most powerful people in the lives of our youth. And so if we want to help our kids, we've got to help their parents. You know, parents today are facing so many battles and so many struggles. The world is just different from how it was when they were kids, when I was a kid. It's just a lot more complicated now with social media and Twitter and texting and all of those things just being one component of what makes life a lot more complicated now. And then the financial struggles here in Hawaii make it really hard for parents to have the same kind of time that they would want to have with their kids. So we really want to empower parents to be able to serve their kids, you know, in a way that is humane. You know, we're not going to try to ask more from parents than they can give, but to just really empower them and make them feel like they have the tools and the resources they need to show their kids how much they love them, to show them how much they support them, and then, you know, to be able to talk about some really difficult topics.
What are some of those topics?
Well, I'm sure you're well aware, and if you're not, that pornography and other sexuality-related issues are a really big deal now with the internet. You know, pornography is no longer in a magazine under your son's bed that you can confiscate. It's on his phone, and, you know, it's no longer something where we don't worry about, you know, oh, if we just keep our kids with certain friends and they're going to be fine. I mean, you know, in my work, I've heard interesting stories about, you know, what girls take pictures of and send to their boyfriends, you know, and it gets really disturbing and really worrisome. And I think that parents really need to know about what's going on, because kids often don't share. And so they'll be equipped to talk about issues like pornography. There'll be a really great seminar on homosexuality and how to answer questions that your kids may have about this issue. How do we, you know, deal with other sexuality-related issues? I think that's definitely the difficult topics part. But our research at Sticky Face showed that parents really avoid talking about these issues, and that's often where our kids get in trouble, right? If we've never been the ones to mentor them and to talk to them about it, then what are they going to do when they're faced with it? So we're really hoping that parents will come and be empowered to do something about that.
How do you talk about such, I guess in some ways sensitive, in some other ways uncomfortable for parents? It could be a hard thing to discuss with a child, an awkward moment. What would you say in light of that?
You know, I think it really depends on your child and on the relationship that you have with them and how mature they are. I think that, to me, there's not a global answer to that. Of course, there will be some various ideas that will be presented at the conference and ways for people to think about what would work best with their kids. But to me, the real bigger question is, do you have that foundation? You know, have you laid a foundation with your child that you can have those kinds of conversations, you know, even if you haven't had them before? Do you have an open and honest relationship where you guys talk about hard things? And so that's really what I hope to address, is to help parents lay that kind of foundation, to be able to talk about difficult things, to learn how to listen more and ask more questions that will help our children not be so defensive, because I think that's often the challenge with teenagers, right? Is you raise an issue and they get defensive and the whole thing unravels and the parents are angry and the kid's angry and everybody's unhappy and the dog even runs out of the house because they don't want to be there. You know, and it's really sad to see those kinds of conversations unravel in that way. And so the hope is, you know, can we create a kind of atmosphere, an environment where everything is okay to be talked about? And that's really the hope. And then you go from there.
Dr. Buckley, we've got about a little less than a minute left. Could you say a short prayer for our dear listener right now?
Sure. God, I pray that you would just speak to whoever's listening right now. Lord, you know the needs in their heart. You know what they need to hear. God, I just pray for a personal word from you. Mm-hmm. God, that you would minister to them, that you would speak directly to them, whatever it is that they need, that you would reassure them of how loved they are and how precious they are to you and how there is hope for them no matter what's going on. God, would you just hold them close and help them to feel your presence today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. It was and is amazing to have you with us today. Dr. Buckley, I thank you for sharing your heart, sharing your life, and sharing the lessons that you have to share. Lives are changed because of what you're doing, and I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Dear one, I do hope that today you were lifted up, moved, encouraged by Dr. Chloe Buckley. You know, you can find out more about her at drchloebuckley.com. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. You know, if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. It's our hope that you would indeed do that. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Malachi 4:6 says, "He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Dr. Chloe Buckley. You can find out more at drchloebuckley.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.